you're passionate about helping in children's church, please speak with Susan. She'd be grateful for the support. And we're speaking about worship, and there again, if you would like to get involved in worship, please come and speak to Jackie. Are you still well?
Yeah.
Good. Well, it's good to see you on this Sunday morning. We've had some good weather so far, haven't we? Well, I have where I've been. I don't know about you, but it's, I think they call it an Indian summer. I was at an event on Saturday over at Brandon for men to come together and just share God's word, to share fellowship with each other, to pray with each other, and to listen to what God had to say. And there was a theme to the day, and it was taken from Esther 4:14. And although I can't share what we shared that day, because it was for men and it was other people that was doing the sharing, I can steal the title, and it was "For Such a Time as This." So I want to take that theme, if I can, and just unpack it slightly for us as a congregation, maybe to bring a challenge, to bring something that will bless you and that will bless me. And I just want to read from Esther 4:14, and you may know the story, and if you don't, it's the story of Esther became the queen. She came into a royal position for such a time as this. And her people were going to be wiped out. And she was the only one that could go before the king and plead for clemency, plead for their lives. And she knew that there was a cost to pay. She knew that there could have been the opportunity that he would not receive her, and therefore she would die herself. But it says this in this portion of scripture, Esther 4:14. "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will also perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." And I've highlighted one or two things here, and it's "for if you remain silent." And there's times in my life and in your life that we could say nothing in a certain situation or circumstance. And there may be people that will perish because of it. It may be an opportunity to share God's grace, an opportunity to sow into someone's life financially, an opportunity to wrap our arms around and to see something new and wonderful take place. And if we remain silent, then relief and deliverance for them will come from somewhere else. But they would experience that relief and deliverance. But you and I, we would experience loss, because we've had a lost opportunity. It also says this. It says that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. And when I have a title, when I have something that I can just focus on, then it's simple for me to look through scripture and to unpack some things that would hopefully bless us. And I've looked at this scripture in 1 Peter 2, starting at verse 9. And I hope you grab hold of this. And there's a thread, a theme, but it's to bless and encourage and challenge at the same time. It says this: "But you," this is you and me, this is God's people, "but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special provision, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." It goes on to say that we were called foreigners and exiles. And there's a correlation there, isn't there? You can actually see a parallel between what was being said to Esther in Esther 4:14. "You've come to your royal position for such a time as this." And then you look in the New Testament, you look at what's said here in 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood." So we can say with confidence that you've come into your royal position for such a time as this. And what is that time? It's this time. It's not yesterday, it's not tomorrow, it's now. It's this time, for such a time as this. In Genesis 50, verse 19, it says this: "But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid." Now, this is a story of a young man, Joseph, that is called a dreamer, because he had a dream. He had several dreams, and he shared those dreams with his family, particularly his brothers. And his brothers didn't like it, they became jealous, and they put him in a pit. And if you imagine the story, he's going out full of enthusiasm. He was favoured by his father. They got hold of him, they dug a pit, they put him in it. They then sold him into slavery. The story goes on, if you take the time to read it, that he was sold into a Potiphar's house. And Potiphar was so impressed with this young man that he gave him charge of everything. And Potiphar's wife took flight to him. And the story goes that he said no. He'd rather serve God than man. He said no, and he ended up in prison because of it. And while he's in prison, for no fault of his own, he interpreted dreams. And he ended up from the pit to the palace. He became second to Pharaoh himself. And this part of the story is near the end of this, where his brothers had come to get food. And here's this young man who had the opportunity to say, now I've got you, now I can get my arm back. But he didn't. Listen to what he did say. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. But God intended it for good. You intended it for harm. I'm in the place that God has put me. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. So it goes on to say that a nation could be saved for such a time as this. Joseph was in that place. And for me and you, we can go through life and God is there with us in the midst. And there's men and there are women, there are circumstances, there are situations that don't look good. They look as if we're in the pit. But if we keep our integrity, dare I say, that God will deliver us from the pit. Sometimes we may go into a prison. We may feel that there's nothing I can do. These bars surround me. Whatever that circumstance is for you and me, we live in the world, don't we? But we're not of the world. But God will place us in the palace because we are of a royal descent. We are a holy people. We are in the right place for such a time as this. And maybe for you, you can say to those individuals that meant to harm you, you meant it for harm, but God meant it for good. And I'm in the place of God. I'm in that right place with God. Last week we was ministering on finances and the whole area of how we give into church and into ministry and the rest of it. And what I said there was that as we sow financially, we receive righteousness. We're in a right standing with God. And it's the same within the things we do and the things we don't do and the things we say and the things we don't say, that we gather that right standing with God. We're in the place of God. That's what he said here. I am in the place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done by saving many. See, God has called you and me for such a time as this. It's good to gather together as church, as we gather together as Grace Community Church. There are other churches that are gathering together. That's the family of God. We are all part of one family. We have one head, that's Jesus Christ. We have one foundation, that's Jesus Christ. But there's many expressions, isn't there? One family, but we are Grace Community Church. And Jesus died for us. He died for me and he died for you. I'm going to go back to my second scripture. For you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, for such a time as this. God has chosen you and he has chosen me for such a time as this. In 1 Samuel 16, a scripture that I like to use quite regularly to emphasize the same thing, but in different situations. It says this: the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So you could understand when you see this young man, Joseph, coming down to his brothers, bringing a dream. They just looked at him in the natural. But there was something in the heart that was being stirred, that God had put something there. He wasn't, I don't believe, maybe he said things in a different way, I don't know. But there wasn't a man that was full of arrogance. He was full of excitement. And yet that excitement ended up in the pit. And sometimes for you, we say it like this: let's get back to our first love. When we first became Christians, our eyes were opened and suddenly we're going, wow, this is great. And then it dulls down a little bit. But may I just suggest for me and you today that we say, Lord, show me afresh, because you've placed me where you've placed me for such a time as this. And I'm very privileged. I know some of the stories of you guys here. And I know that some of you have been through tough times. But it's for such a time as this. that God has brought you into your royal position for such a time as this. Man may look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Man may look at you and say, there's nothing you can do. And God looks at your heart and says, you can do all things through me because I strengthen you. Man may look at you and say, you're not tall enough. God looks at you and he says, I know your heart. I'll make you tall enough. I'll make you an image of my son. See, God has called me and you for such a time as this. And what is that time? Then you know, because you're in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time, so that you can save many. So I want to encourage us in grace as we move on from week to week and month to month and year to year. And sometimes it can seem as if we're doing the same old, but God is the same old God. He's the same young God. He's the same middle-aged God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we do the same things. It's a repetitive thing. We actually do. Sometimes we can look at other churches, other denominations, and think that they're full of ritual. But we are. We do the same things. We pray on a daily basis. It's good to pray. We worship on a daily basis. It's good to worship. We give of our finances. We give of our time. We give of our talents. Why for such a time as this? Because God is developing something within us. It's a heart relationship. And my word today for us as a church is, it is for such a time as this. So wherever you are on your journey, if you are finding things difficult, it's for such a time as this. If you're finding it easy, it's for such a time as this, because God looks at the heart. In Luke 14, starting at verse 28, I bring this portion of scripture just to bring one simple thought. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation, you're not able to finish it. Everyone who sees it will ridicule you. There's a principle here that we know that salvation is free, isn't it? Salvation is free, but most everything else we pay for, don't we? There's a cost involved. There's a cost to the things we say. There's a cost to the things we don't say. There's a cost involved in where we live, in the vehicle we drive. There's a cost involved in what we consume. There's a cost involved. And when it comes to doing something in kingdom, I want to encourage you to weigh the cost up. Because when we look at the parable of the sower, it's so easy to see the negative there, that there's weeds and there's lots of rubble and there's thistles and there's thorns that come to choke. And then we see that there's a good patch of soil. And the seed is sown into that good soil and it germinates and produces something. Well, in all of those situations, there's a cost involved. And for me and you as Christians, when we sow God's word, there's a cost involved. Somebody may ridicule us. Somebody may make fun of us. There's a cost involved. But if we know that we've been called to our royal position for such a time as this, maybe we can come before that situation, knowing that God is for us. Because the Bible says, if God be for us, then who can be against us? The Bible also says, no weapon forged against me will prosper. The Bible also says that every word, every negative word that rises up in accusation against me will be cast down and put under my feet. Now, so often, guys, it's easy for us to declare these things as a mantra. It's just to say, yes, he that is in me. And then we go out and then we hide. And I use the illustration of the prophet of God where he slays the 100 prophets of Baal. And then as he's going in victory, one woman says to him, today I'm going to have your head, and he runs. And I've always wondered how you could do something so magnificent for God, and then one person says one thing and you run. But it's happened to me. Has it happened to you? Where you're full of faith. You go to a meeting where you see signs, wonders, and miracles, or you have a word of encouragement, and you go, yes, today I am going to do such and such. I am going to give this, I am going to do that, I'm going to speak of my faith in the workplace. And then one person says, who do you think you are? And then we run. Well, can I give you the answer? When someone says, who do you think you are? Going back to my second scripture, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Or simply, you can say, I am justified, sanctified, set apart. I'm going from glory to glory. I'm part of the royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. See, we have an answer inside of us, and it's Jesus Christ. Because you've been called to your royal position for such a time as this. And in Judges 6, verse 11, it says this, "The angel of the Lord came down under the oak of Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abrazite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midians," or the Midianites. "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'Lord, the Lord said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" I bring this portion of scripture using Gideon because when I look at this, it really encourages me, because here's a man who's in the wrong place doing the right thing. He's in a wine press threshing wheat. And if you know about threshing wheat, you want the wind to come and blow the chaff away, yes? So you won't be in the valley where all the wine presses are, because the wine presses are down at the bottom so that you don't have to carry the heavy load up to the top. And the wheat is carried up to the top, so when they throw it in the air, the wind will blow it away. So here's a man, he's in a wine press, and he's threshing wheat because he's afraid. And yet God comes and says to him that you're a mighty warrior. You can understand Esther maybe thinking, I'm just a woman in a man's world. Story's the same, isn't it? I'm just a woman in a man's world. And yet God says, arise, mighty warrior. And it's the same for you, whether you're male or whether you're female, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're tall or whether you're short. God says to you afresh, I believe, through his word, that it's for such a time as this that he's called you to your royal position. You've been called out of darkness into his wonderful light. And when you're in a position where you may be afraid, God could say to you afresh, as he's saying through his word here, arise, mighty warrior. And I can say that with confidence, knowing his word says that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So you are a mighty warrior. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Weigh the cost up. Be real with yourself and say, Lord, this is what I intend to say today. This is what I intend to do today. This is what I intend to give today. But I've weighed it up, Lord. I've weighed up the cost. I know what it will cost me, and I want to go. Or not, as the case may be. Today, may I say to you and say to myself as this, in this church, that we're to rise because we're mighty warriors. For such a time as this, God has called us to our royal position. We are children of the King. We are part of that royal descent. We are justified, sanctified, and set apart. We are part of that holy nation. The Bible says, once you were not, now you are. Once you were not a people, now you are a people. You're a people of God. And it isn't about, you know, when I was a young Christian, I used to be self-condemned, because I used to think, well, who do I think I am? Thinking that I have the victory. Because I would hear my pastor say that you can do all things through Christ. You, Andrew, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are the head and not the tail. And we can stand in a prayer meeting, and I used to jump up and down and get excited. And then I'd go out into the world and be just like the man of God that just ran and hid. And I would not weigh the cost up. And then God got hold of me afresh. And as he started to unpack the scriptures, I could truly say that I'm part of that royal line. That I can hold my head up. It's not in arrogance. It's in adoration. Lord, I am your child. You look after me. Lord, I am your child. I'm part of your church. You build it. You see, when our children ask us for good things, we give them good things. How much more will God give you? So we know that we are the children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one, 1 John 5. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. So in other words, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. God's given us understanding. He's given us wisdom. And if we don't have wisdom, and if we don't have understanding, he simply says, ask me and I will give you. So you've been born into your royal position for such a time as this. In 2 Kings 6:8. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. This really is the portion of scripture that I wanted to share, but if I just brought this one portion of scripture, then that would be 3 minutes and it'd be over. So it's good to pack around it, isn't it? It's good to kind of bring some extra bits because we don't want you to go away and you're not blessed. But if you grab hold of this piece of scripture, then, and when you meditate on this piece of scripture, when you look at all the other things that have been said today, that you've been born into this royal position for such a time as this, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. When you come up against the armies that are around us, we've been told that the evil one, the enemy, the devil, he prowls around, doesn't he? Looking for what he can devour, that he can drink down and destroy. When we see tragedy unfold, yes, we know that God is in control of all things. We know that. Without God allowing things to happen, they wouldn't happen. But we also know that the enemy, the devil, comes to rob, steal, and destroy. And we go through life, and it's hard sometimes to get to that position where we can say, Lord, you've brought me to my royal position for such a time as this. Well, this portion of scripture talks about a war. It talks about two kings. It talks about two armies. It says this, now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officials, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, because the Amorites are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officials and demanded of them, tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel. None of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officials. But Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel, every word you speak in your bedroom. When you're in your private place, when you're saying things that you think no one else can hear, he's telling the king of Israel these things. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And then he said this profound thing. This is the servant. Oh, no. Have you ever been in that situation where you're really in a good mood? And you wake up, you open the curtains, it's raining, and it's, oh no, I used to be in landscaping, so I was ready to till the ground, and I needed to be sunny. And you wake up, and it's raining, and it's, oh no. Well, that's a simple thing, isn't it? Maybe you get up in the morning, you get your children ready, and you get them in the car, you get them to school, and you realize you haven't put their shoes on. It's an oh no, isn't it? These are simple things. Or maybe you go to buy something and you go to pay with your card and it's declined. Oh, no. Well, maybe you're in a situation where every time you say something positive, someone says something negative. Every time you go into the workplace, there are men and women there just ready to tear you to bits. And you go into your closet and you go, oh, no. Well, I want to say, you've been born to your royal position for such a time as this. My Lord, what shall we do? The servant said, do not be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those that are with them. That's what I want to say to you today. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. You have been born to your royal position for such a time as this. You're not alone. You're not on your own. There is an army out there. There's an angelic force out there. There's other men and women who belong to the army of the Lord. There's a song that I, before I became a Christian, you'd hear lots of things on TV and on our television would be songs of praise. And there's a song that the Salvation Army would sing, onward Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. And I remember that song even now. You're not alone. There's an army with you. So whenever you're in that position, whether you've forgotten your children's lunchbox shoes, or there's not enough money in the account to pay the bill, or there seems to be hordes of people against you, whenever you do something, the children don't listen. Whenever you do something, the adults don't listen. Whenever you speak of God's word, it seems to be that people will come back with venom. Whatever it is in life, when there's tragedy and mishap, be encouraged that you've been born to your royal position for such a time as this. You're not alone. Do not be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those that are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. Let's pray that prayer afresh today. Lord, open my eyes that I may see you. And stop my ears that I may hear you. Elisha's hiding, isn't he? And it's not in the strength of the conditions around him, not in the strong wind or the fire. It's in a small, still voice, isn't it? And sometimes we can't hear that small, still voice because there's so much going on around us. But may I say to you today, afresh to us as a church, for you as individuals and for me as an individual, we've been born into our royal position. For such a time as this. For such a time as this. Do not be afraid. Because those that are with us are more than those that are with them. That you're part of a family. Whenever you find yourself in need. That's why I like the story where God gathers his people around his people. I like those stories. God gathers his people around his people. You know, and sometimes we can be tired, can't we? And God says to us afresh, the battle belongs to you. And we get tired and weary and we have to sit. And God says through his word that as long as you keep your arms raised, then the battle belongs to you. And we go, but I'm tired. And then he brings a man and a woman, one on one side, one on the other, and he lifts up our arms. And God says afresh, do not be afraid. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. So I want to encourage you guys. I want to be an encouragement. I want this church to be an encouragement. I want you to know that there is a cost. Nothing is free apart from salvation. There is a cost. There's a cost to what we do. There's a cost to what we say. There's a cost to what we don't say. When we keep silent, things will happen. There's a cost to everything. Weigh it up. But realize that we have our feet firmly on that foundation, which is Jesus Christ. The capstone, which is Jesus Christ. The beginning, the middle, the end, which is Jesus Christ. And he says, or his word says, that you've been born for such a time as this. In Mark 4, verse 36, leaving the crowd behind, he took him along. They took him along just as he was. This is the disciples took Jesus with them in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping. The disciples woke him up and says, Lord, do you not care that we are to drown? Jesus woke up and he could have said, oh, ye of little faith, be still. And the sea was calm. But he did say, be still. And the sea was calmed. But every time I read this portion of scripture, what strikes me is this. Not the fact that Jesus was asleep. Not the fact that there was a squall, there was a sea that was about to overflip the boat, that people could have been drowned. That's not what strikes me. What strikes me is this, is that on that sea there were other boats. And those other boats would have been in that same squall, wouldn't they? They'd have been in that same storm. And yet when Jesus blessed his disciples, those other boats got blessed as well. Those other people got blessed as well. So when Esther went before the king, it wasn't just for her sake, was it? Wasn't just her and her family, it was her people. It was her people. So when you are blessed and you become a blessing, you affect other people. You will affect people in your workplace. You will affect people in your home, in your street. You will affect people in restaurants. When you are generous, people will be affected by that generosity. When you bring peace, it will bring peace to other people. Why? Glad you asked. Because you've been born to your royal position. For such a time as this. Is this making sense? Is it okay if I encourage you a bit more? Is it okay if you're blessed? Is it okay if you're challenged? Yes. Right, well, we'll carry on then. John 15, verse 16 says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go bear fruit, fruit that will last. So whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." God's created you and me to bear fruit, much fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Going back to that illustration of sowing the seed. Now, the word of God, it says, is the seed that's being scattered freely. Some of it fall on rocky places, and it doesn't sprout up because it's shallow. The soil is shallow. The roots are shallow. They're scorched. There's places where there's lots of rubble and there's not lots of rocks. There's places where thistles and thorns come up. There's places, the Bible says, that we're choked because of the things around us. But where you are the answer to the question. So when you sow a seed and you see a rock, pick up the rock. Calm the sea. Provide for those in need. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Be a word of cheer in season. Why? Because God's called us to be fruit bearers. We've been brought into our royal position for such a time as this. In my final scripture, if you'd like to come forward, Sarah, that'd be brilliant, is in Genesis 37, verse 14, it says this. So he said to him, "Go, see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off to the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the field and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks? They have moved on from here." The man answered, "I heard them say they were going to Dothan." Now that's familiar, isn't it? Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. So Joseph went after his brothers and he found them at Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. You see, what the enemy means for evil, God turns it for your good. Our word today, our message today, our encouragement today is simply this, is to say that there is a cost involved in our salvation. There is things that we need to weigh up. God has saved us, he sanctified us, he set us apart. We are royal descent. I want to remind you today that your salvation was a free gift. But everything else in life does seem to have a cost. Weigh that cost up. Understand that when we go out into this world, that we are who God says we are. We are justified, sanctified, we're set apart. We've been born into our royal position for such a time as this. Now, God may not ask you to go and save a nation, but he might ask you to save a child. He might not ask you to save a nation, but he may ask you to calm a situation. He might not ask you to save a nation, but he might ask you to provide for someone in need. He may ask you to clothe the hungry. He may ask you to humble yourself and put things right with a neighbor. God may not ask you to save a nation, but you have been put into your royal position for such a time as this. And I want to encourage you with this final word, which is this. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Sarah.